ABC Listen. Podcasts, radio, news, music, and more.
Norman, how are you at brain teasers?
I hate brain teasers because I'm crap at them.
No, today you are good at them. I'm going to give you one right now.
Oh, no. Go on.
Okay, here we go. A man is looking at a photograph of someone. His friend asks who it is. The man replies, "Brothers and sisters, I have none, but that man's father is my father's son." Who's in the photograph?
Oh, God. I actually have heard this one before. So, brothers and sisters, I have none. That man's... Come again?
That man's father is my father's son.
Oh, let's not do this. I give in. In the time frame, if we had 45 minutes for this podcast, that's fine. I give in early.
It's because this man speaks like he's a troll who lives under a medieval bridge. It's his son.
As everybody says when they hear the results of these.
Yeah.
Shall I give you mine and we'll have a competition for What's That Rash, listeners?
Yes, please. That would be great.
A receives B's arm through the post from C and is very pleased to receive it. The question is, what's the story that leads to that point?
So, a bit of backstory here. When Norman and I were doing CoronaCast every single day for like 2.5, 3 years through 2020, 2021, you at some stage, Norman, told me this brain teaser, and I have been turning it over in my mind ever since. I refuse to Google it, but I do not refuse to ask What's That Rash listeners to hazard their guess at what the answer is / help put my mind to rest.
And you're not allowed to use Google. We'll have to trust you on that.
No Google. But if you think you know...
The other thing you can do, by the way, is ask questions. So why don't you ask some questions of me and then I'll give you the answers and we'll see where we go from there.
All right. When you say C, are you referring to the letter C as in indicating a character or could it be the ocean?
No, they're people. So okay. Just instead of using Smith, Jones... Fred, A is a person, B is a person, C is a person.
Okay. Is the arm in question an actual physical limb that was amputated from, is it B?
Yes. And that's all I'm going to allow you on this week's What's That Rash.
Let's get on with it. Today we are talking about things you can do to keep your brain young, and working with Norman Swan is one of them.
Oh, really? Yeah. So a question comes from Stuart.
Stuart wants to know our top tips for lowering your dementia risk because, of course, Australia's population is ageing. We want to be healthy and have healthy brains for as long as possible. So I guess where I'd like to start with this one, Norman, is a recap on what dementia is and what it isn't.
So what dementia is diminution of your thinking and memory ability, often associated with behavioural issues and often associated with psychological issues such as depression and anxiety. But that's essentially it. It's a diminution of thinking and memory. And depending on the type of dementia, because there are many, many different types of dementia, it can also be associated, for example, with hallucinations. And some dementias move faster than others.
I want to dig into the different types of dementia in a second, but one thing I wanted to be really clear on is I think I didn't realise this until quite recently. Dementia's not inevitable, but is some brain fade in later life inevitable? And what's the threshold between perhaps a bit of forgetfulness that maybe is a normal sign of ageing and dementia as a diagnosis?
Well, it can be hard to distinguish between the two. As you get older, memory lapses become commoner, but that's not dementia. You can forget people's names, and I've forgotten people's names since as long as I can remember, which is last week. But some dementia experts would say it's lack of insight. So if you know that you've got a problem, you're less likely, they say, to have true dementia. True dementia, you just don't realise the impact of your change in behaviour. And there's a bit of personality change attached to it, and it's inexorable. It just keeps on going. Nothing seems to reverse it or change it. Cognitive impairment can be diagnosed, but not everybody with cognitive impairment will go on to develop dementia. So in other words, Yep, your memory does go a little bit, your thinking ability slows down a bit, and you can call that cognitive impairment. But not everybody with cognitive impairment will end up with dementia. Not everybody with this stuff called beta amyloid in the brain will end up with Alzheimer's either. So it's a very complex set of conditions.
So you mentioned beta amyloid. So in Alzheimer's, there's a specific look to the brain. There's plaques that are involved in it. Vascular dementia, you mentioned, is sort of like the blood vessels. Can you talk me through some of the main kind of types of dementia?
So Alzheimer's disease has two cardinal things going on in the brain. Plaques, which is beta amyloid, and they're outside the nerve cells of the brain, and tangles, which are another protein called tau, which is inside the nerves. And it's likely that Alzheimer's disease has several problems leading to the same outcome. And vascular dementia can be part of that, where you've got diseases of the arteries, arteriosclerosis, causing damage and inflammation in the brain, and that can also work, they can work together. So it's unusual to find pure Alzheimer's disease, pure vascular dementia, they work together. And there are lots of different kinds. There's frontotemporal dementia. The dementia most strongly associated with hallucinations is Lewy body disease. And you can get a dementia, by the way, with Parkinson's disease as well.
Yeah, so I guess that's a pretty long list of different ways that your brain can betray you, basically. Stuart's asking about prevention. What does, at least in terms of reducing your risk as you get older?
Well, let's start with childhood and adolescence, because it's some people argue that dementia is a lifelong problem that starts very early in life, and the prevention can start early in life. The more education you have when you're younger, the later you develop dementia, if indeed you develop it at all. The theory here is pretty straightforward. There is some controversy, by the way, about this, but there are a lot of studies which suggest it when you follow cohorts through, is that you've essentially built up your neural networks inside your brain, and your brain has lots of fail-safe mechanisms in it and more reserve in it than if you hadn't gone on into further education.
So one of the things that goes along with that is that people kind of go, okay, build up my brain, I'm going to do brain teaser exercises like we just did, or they might get into Sudoku or crosswords. Are those things useful?
Probably not, because they're too narrow. So brain stimulation is important as you get older. But there are various routes to it, and the key here is complexity. Your brain is very complex, and you don't want something simple, like a Sudoku puzzle, even though I'm crap at it.
I can't do Sudoku.
You know, even though it's challenging, it's challenging along a certain line. So if you do a lot of Sudoku, you become very good at Sudoku, but you don't necessarily generalize to the whole brain. So the sorts of stimulation that we're talking about here is work. Retirement is not particularly good for your brain. Now, when I say retirement, I don't mean just stopping your job and giving up your salary, that's bad for you. It's stopping work of some kind. So you can stop your regular job where you get a salary and start volunteering and doing work that you didn't do before. Well, that's good for your brain because it's complex. Social connections are incredibly complicated things and really good for you. So having lots of people that you come in contact with, maintaining friendships, maintaining contact with your family, that social connectivity is really important for your brain. And learning new tasks, if you're up for it, which is learning a musical instrument, learning a new language. Those challenges do create new neural networks in your brain and help to strengthen it for the future.
So with the language thing, I've heard that people who are multilingual show symptoms of dementia later, even if they've got the brain changes, because they've got those multiple pathways in their brain because they've got two words for everything because they've got, say, two languages.
I've been told that. I haven't seen the research, so I absolutely take your word for it, and it makes a lot of sense. They've done studies of people learning a new instrument and done functional MRI scans of the brain, showing that just as the way you can build up your biceps by doing exercises in the gym, so you build up bits of your brain that, you know, become more muscular. Obviously,
that's not muscly brain.
It's not muscle. Then exercise is important. So exercise is good for your blood vessels. It's also good for the oxidation process, which speeds up aging or is part of the aging process. So when you exercise, particularly moderate intensity for long enough, it actually affects every cell in your body. It settles down this aging process, which is part of breathing oxygen and getting internal rusting, it settles that down.
I was going to ask you about this last week because we were talking about the Mediterranean diet, or we were talking about red wine and antioxidants. And I was thinking when you were saying that basically oxygen's bad for our tissues, that maybe exercise would make it worse because you're breathing in more frequently, but you're telling me it's the opposite.
No, it's the opposite because it's metabolic stress, good metabolic stress, and it tends to settle that down. It settles the immune system down and the immune system is not so inflamed. There's also diet. It's the broken record on what's that rash, the Mediterranean diet. But when you eat a diet, it's also probably the Vietnamese diet, aspects of the Southeast Asian diet, is that when you eat a diet that's rich in vegetables, that's been cooked in virgin oil, whether that's olive oil or peanut oil or what have you, with lots of natural antioxidants, it changes your microbiome into, again, an anti-aging, anti-rusting mode. So the diet is really important as well. Smoking, poison for the brain. High blood pressure, poison for the brain. Diabetes, almost certainly because of both its metabolic effects and effects on blood vessels, poison for the brain. Now, there's something else that people don't often talk about, and that's the drugs you're on, the medications.
Okay, what do you mean?
There are some drugs which have what's called an anticholinergic effect. Cholinergic spelled C-H-O-L-I-N-G-E-R-G-I-C. This is named after a chemical transmitter in the brain called acetylcholine. It's one of the most important parts of brain chemistry, which allows messages to get through the brain. And in Alzheimer's disease and some forms of dementia, the ability of cells to transmit and communicate via acetylcholine is diminished. Now, there are some drugs which reduce acetylcholine in the brain. That's why they're called anticholinergic.
Which ones?
Well, we're talking about some antidepressants, antipsychotic drugs, which may be one reason why antipsychotics are so toxic in elderly people. Opioids can, some antihistamines, particularly the old-fashioned antihistamines, and drugs taken by older men to help their urine flow if they've got an enlarged prostate. Now, that doesn't mean to say you shouldn't have those drugs, particularly antidepressants, but it means that you need, particularly if you're older, and you've noticed your thinking ability going off, you need to have a discussion with your GP about whether or not you can swap out some of these drugs.
So choline, I can see that like so many things.
Acetylcholine.
Well, I'm looking at choline. You can buy it as a supplement and it promotes itself as helping with your nervous system health. I'm guessing like literally every supplement we've ever talked about on this show, it's probably not going to do the job.
It's not been tested properly, so we don't know.
Okay. So baked into Stuart's question is this idea that the Australian population is ageing and that we're going to see kind of an explosion in the numbers of people with dementia. What do we know at a nationwide level?
Here's the headline. Dementia rates are falling.
Really?
Yep. Same as cancer rates are falling.
Really?
Same as coronary heart disease rates have been falling. They've evened out a little bit.
Is that because we generally, as a population, we're smoking a lot less than we used to? Are there other things that we're doing better? Gosh, all you ever hear about is how much worse we're all getting. It's so nice to hear the other side of that.
So let me clarify that statistic. If you are 70 years old today or 80 years old today, your chances of developing dementia are far less than they were 20, 30, 40 years ago, possibly 25% less than they were maybe even just a decade ago. Steadily going down. And it's probably related to this idea that what's good for your heart is good for your brain. In other words, we are healthier. That's why we're living longer. That's why if you're 80 years old today, you've got the chances of dying in the next 12 months of somebody who was 60, maybe 50 or 60 years ago. So we are younger than we were age for age. And that's probably the reason. And so we've got less coronary heart disease. If we have got coronary heart disease, it's being treated with cholesterol reduction, blood pressure reduction, and we're not smoking as much. So you're absolutely right. Now, because age is the strongest risk factor for dementia, as it is for cancer, as there are more people who are older, you're going to see more dementia in the community. But on an individual basis, your risk has dropped.
That is fascinating and reassuring. So if people who are wanting to stay in that low risk category, give us your top five tips.
Well, I'll probably not stick to five, but we'll see how we go. If you're bringing up kids, try and keep them in education. Doesn't really matter what kind of education, but keep them learning stuff for as long as possible. Stop smoking. Know what your blood pressure is. Know what your cholesterol is. Get it down to normal levels. really work on your social connections, that you're maintaining friendships through into old age, from your young to middle age and on. Men are particularly at risk here. They tend to lose their social connections more than women. Women are pretty good at this. Control your weight and make sure your brain is still stimulated. And if you're going to retire from paid work, take up volunteering. Keep on working. Keep on social contact. Keep on learning new stuff.
Thank you, Stuart, so much for your question. If you've got a question, you can email us. We are thatrash@abc.net.au. And a couple of weeks ago, Norman, I launched a new segment on this show, which I think I called something along the lines of the N equals one experiment corner, yep. In which people experiment on themselves. And we heard from someone who were testing the recommended barium dye with a pre-workout gel.
I can't remember what the circumstances were, but they decided that they'd see what effect this had on the barium because it might slow things down, and it worked better than barium.
Anyway, someone listening is like a medical physicist, and she wanted us to put her in touch with the person who wrote the letter because I think she's thinking of publishing it at a conference. And all I want to say to that is please put What's That Rash as a co-author.
And tell us, that's right, and tell us what happened. But this is not something to try by yourself at home.
No, please don't swallow barium dye or pre-workout gel. Just to x-ray your throat. But yeah, if you've got a self-experimentation story, we want to hear it.
Yeah, as long as it's not dangerous, okay? Don't be stupid about it.
Don't be stupid and then blame us. But if you have already been stupid and it makes a good story, tell us.
Yeah, and talk about dumb, which is me, not you. that we decided we'd throw out a brain teaser a couple of weeks ago.
No, it was today.
Oh, today, was it? Okay. Quarter time passes quickly.
It was the dementia episode.
Oh, God. Okay, I'm off to the memory clinic. So just to remind you of our brain teaser, so you send in your questions to elucidate more information so we can tease out the audience. So hold back if you think you've got the answer.
No, don't. Just tell me.
No, we're going to keep it from Tegan, and I will be the custodian of that, me and Shelby. Anyway, A receives B's arm through the mail from C and is very pleased to receive it. And the only hint I'll give you is that every word in that is significant.
Email us your answers. The answers, please. I want them. thatrash@abc.net.au.
Send them to me, not Tegan.
See you next week.